Hello, and welcome to another episode of Malaprops and Moxie. It's your host, Tayflo, and for today's episode, I have two guests in the studio, Annie, who is a physical therapist, and Jamie, who is a certified trainer and works with folks with adaptive needs. And on today's episode, we kind of talk through what it looks like when, you know, your job and what you've been pursuing kind of opens your eyes to a niche that you didn't really realize was a passion, but something that you have just poured your heart into. And so we go back and forth on how they have been able to use their skills and expertise to help not only postpartum mothers, but also anybody who has any sort of adaptive training needs, whether it be physical or mental. So this is a really great episode. I can't wait for you guys to listen. So sit back and happy listening. All right. Welcome to another episode of Malaprops and Moxie. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
We've got Jamie and Annie in the studio. I'm really excited. I'm just going to have you guys tell the listeners who you are, a little bit about yourself, whatever you want to share. Who wants to go first?
Jay's got it.
I'll go first. All right. Hey, I'm Jamie. I am a mom of two girls. They are 11 and 8. I am originally from Niagara Falls, New York, but I've been here in Charlotte for about 13 or 14 years now, which I will graciously start calling this home.
Yeah, because, it's official.
Yeah, it's official. And then I look at, you know, pictures from back home that my mom sends right now of like 5 feet of snow and all that shit. And I'm like, No, thank you. I'm here. I'm here for good. And I am a personal trainer. I'm a general manager of Hooga Fit. Our workout space, and I have a business called the 360 Method, which is geared towards helping pregnant and postpartum people and their journeys of maintaining and gaining strength throughout all those phases. And I am also an adaptive special needs trainer, so I start working with people with all types of special needs and working on movement and how important that is to incorporate and give access to those with special needs, you know, give them a space and opportunity to move. So
love it.
That's kind of what I'm up to.
Okay.
That's who I am.
Throw it to Annie.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. I'm Annie. I am a physical therapist. So I my company is called Grow PT. It's out of Hooga also. So you'll find me in the same space as Jamie where Hooga Fit is. But I specialize in orthopedics and pelvic floor PT. So we'll kind of get into that, I think, later on in the episode. But, I'm from Charlotte originally. So I've been here most of my life and besides going away for school and coming back after that. But so I'm a PT by trade. And then I also do personal training and teach at Hooga as well and love just working with people and teaching them about movement, especially when it comes to like just pain management and feeling better and feeling more confident. And then my career has kind of evolved into treating a lot of pelvic floor, perinatal, the female athlete realm. Of course, I still see men and treat humans in general, but that's kind of where this whole path has kind of taken me. It was just down more of like a female athlete track, which again, I think we'll get into in a little bit, but I'm, like 10 days away from giving birth. So I don't have any kids
yet. It's a very relevant topic.
So I'm not a mom yet. Well, I guess kind of, but yeah, so he'll be here soon and then all things will be crazy and different. But as of right now, I have no children.
Oh my gosh, I love it. And I will speak from experience. You, the dry needling, you were my first dry needling experience. You helped me with a bunch of pain. So
yeah.
I love that. And Jamie, you're kicking my ass in the gym all the time.
So, love it.
Because I don't come to the 6 a.m. well, we are talking today, like the Malaprop in real life is why I brought you guys here, is the concept between like, obviously fitness and like enabling your body to do what it's meant to do and like rehabilitation and access and all that is what your careers are. But you have kind of found a way to birth a passion of niches. And so what does that look like when like your career shifts into, you know, that
oh my gosh, this is my thing. And this is what brings me a lot of joy. Like, yeah, I get a paycheck, but this is what really makes me excited. So we're going to dig into that. Mm-hmm. And I think what I would like to do is talk about, firstly, how y'all met, mm-hmm. what brought y'all together, and then we'll kind of dive into like where the career stuff kind of started evolving. So
okay,
who met who, how did y'all meet?
I wonder if we're going to have the same story.
Yeah.
This is fun. Okay.
Let's count to three and y'all say like where you were.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Block.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Yeah. We matched.
Yeah.
I worked for a gym called Block. And I was there for a couple years. And I remember I was teaching a class and Annie started coming to the classes. And I remember, and I've talked with her obviously when she was there.
Yeah.
But I remember specifically, I was standing towards like the front of the board and she was on the bags. She was boxing. And I was like,
hell yeah.
There's no chance that this girl isn't A, like an athlete,
mm-hmm.
B, a trainer.
Yeah.
You could just tell by the way like she moved and she was always so like into it and strong. And I was like, I need to like somehow grasp her in some way.
Yeah.
Like, you need to come and join what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I remember the first question I asked you was, are you a trainer? Like, do you do you do this for a living? And she's like, well, I'm a PT and a personal trainer. And I was like, I know it.
Yeah.
I know it. We instantly, I think, just connected personality wise too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like this every day. Like we have such like a fun, sisterly, just honest, brutally honest in like the funniest ways with each other. And it's built from that moment. And that's what I remember you in that one class.
I do. I mean, I remember that class too. I'd been coming to a few and I joined Block as a member and I loved the way that like Jamie structured the classes. And I just, it always, it was probably a few that I had gone to before we like really kind of had that conversation. But,
did you choose classes based on if Jamie was okay?
Yeah. And the funniest thing that I think that I think I've told you this before, but I thought that Jamie was married to Josh Norris. I thought that that was her husband.
Who's Josh Norris?
Green Brothers.
Oh. Like, for anyone who doesn't live in Charlotte, like a smoothie spot.
He's like one of my
best friends. He's very good friends. We're all very good friends. Yeah. He is married to somebody else. And that's not to say that I thought that they were doing anything weird.
Yeah.
I just saw him like drop off kids and I knew you had kids. And I was like, okay, like, anyways, I always think that that's so funny because now that I know everyone so much better, I'm like, wow, what an idiot. But we met at Block and I was teaching a small group fitness class at work. That's all I was doing as far as training was going. And she was just basically like, you know, we need to like get you in here. And it was really soon after I had like joined as a member that we kind of started getting into that. But we've always, like Jamie said, had a really, just like, it's just always been very fun and sisterly, I think is a really good description because I do like, we can really just kind of say whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it very like when we get into like working together as trainers, but also with 360 and just like, Jamie's my go-to when it comes to just bouncing anything like business, wellness, personal, like all the things off of. So I think that, but I feel like that's been like since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you guys have a moment where you're like, are we friends? Like, you know how you kind of, because I've definitely had that moment where you just like you vibe and you just kind of know that this person's going to be somebody you like click with, but then you realize like, oh, we're like friends, you know? Did that happen at any moment?
I think I remember at one point me asking you if you wanted to go get wine.
Go to Barcelona.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh,
we're
friends.
Oh, yeah. We did the mayor's thing.
Mayor's down
and
the
then
mayor's, yeah.
Mine was more like when we went to Barcelona together as a group. And, you know, when you go out with people new, it's like, it can be weird.
Yeah, because like, what is it going to be like? Yeah.
But it was so not. And I was like, okay, when you know that it's, when it all of a sudden is fun from the get-go, you're like, okay, like this is like a good friend.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard sometimes, like as an adult, to like find a group that you're automatically like, that was really fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And not weird.
And like you invested the time to go have wine and then it's like, oh, cool. That wasn't a waste. Like I really, this is going to be something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I love that. So like how many hangouts did it take until you guys were like, do we want to go into business together? Like, where did that, when did that happen? Yeah.
Well, I mean, we were trainers together at the studio for, I mean, at least a year. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, that's when I was starting to like think about going out on my own and not work for a company. Yeah. And Jamie was like, how can we figure out how you can make that work? Cause I was just miserable. Mm,
yeah.
And then that was kind of also when we were approached with like by Garrett, mm-hmm. and we had already been doing 360 together. She ran it, but I was like kind of a guest speaker, would come in and talk like PT, pelvic floor stuff. But as far as like Huga and starting Huga Fit goes, and 360, like really finding a space and a home for that, and the bit and my business, it was kind of like after, I would say probably like a year, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that's awesome. And when, so you started 360, Jamie, and will you explain a little bit more about like what it is and why and all that fun
yeah.
stuff?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I never, ever in my life wanted to own a business or run a business. Like to me, I would rather be like the best number two, but never like the top dog.
Yeah, you know? I feel you. Yeah.
And it's kind of how I've always been. Like I've always just been, I was a college athlete. And so being on a team was like my favorite thing. Like I wanted to be the best teammate to everybody.
Yeah.
And, I never had goals of like, I want to be captain of this team, but I was always awarded captain. And I'm like, what the hell? It's not what I'm planning for. And what stems from that, I think, is my coach when I was a junior in college, my coach, made me captain. And that was like unheard of. You only seniors are yes. given captainship.
You gotta like earn the,
you have to earn it. Yeah. Right. And I remember talking to him like, why? Like you normally give, and he said that from day one, you've always just been like the most coachable.
Mm.
And I always thought that was like the biggest, like when you get like the most coachable award, you're like, okay, this means like you're
likely
kind of,
to be
kind of shitty at what you do, but like, I can tell you when you're doing something wrong and you'll try to fix it.
Yeah.
But he said being coachable and able to kind of like adjust and show and actions that you're like, you're learning and you're growing is the biggest form of leadership that we can see.
Mm.
So he's saying that like by you constantly demonstrating that type of leadership, I wasn't the loudest. Yep. I wasn't the meanest or, mm-hmm. you know, what people kind of think of as like a leader or a mm-hmm. captain. He said this, you show or you demonstrate it in that sort of way. And so then throughout my life, like even, you know, I was a teacher for 9 years and I loved being like co-teaching with other people. Like I always just wanted other people around. I never wanted to be alone in anything.
Yeah.
And so then after I was a teacher, I had my two kids. And sorry, this is a long way to like answer your question, but I had my two daughters and I was working part-time when I had my kids teaching in a school. And then I just had this urge, like, I need to do fitness. Like, I missed it. You know, I missed being an athlete, and I wanted to get back into it. So I started studying and became a trainer. And then when I started training, I constantly got moms as clients because I think I was a mom. So it was easily, you know,
like, relatable
yeah. for people. So they felt comfortable. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing, you know, and I think that's how everyone kind of starts with something. It's like, totally. Oh my God. And then people started asking, you know, like requesting or like wanting me to train them. And I'm like, seriously, they like want me to do this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So I started doing it. And then even as I continued working with these moms, there was like this constant problem that I felt like I couldn't fix.
I see.
A lot of it's like the mental and emotional side of being postpartum, the feeling of losing yourself and your body. And then also on top of that, the trauma that actually happens to your body during your 9 months of pregnancy and then through delivery and then postpartum. And then you're kind of just left on your own to figure it out.
Yeah.
And they come to me and I'm like, shoot, I don't know. Mm. Like, I don't know how to strengthen or fix your core or
right.
pelvic floor. Like I didn't know anything. Like
yeah.
when you get certified, there's like a chapter maybe about pregnancy and it's old school stuff.
Mm.
Like it's not, I don't think it's really like kept up with. And so I just started feeling like pretty, like there's a missing link. Why don't I know this? Moms don't really know this. The OBs, they're not explaining this side of motherhood and how to like fix and correct and gain strength again properly and feel better. So that's when I started doing a lot of research of like, okay, I need to fill this gap because there is a need for it. Mm-hmm. And if I don't do, I'm not going to wait for someone else to do it. I've instantly became like super drawn to helping this demographic.
Yeah.
And so then I just started researching, and then eventually that led into me being certified. And then I just started training moms, and someone was like, you should make this a business. And I was like, no.
No, thank you.
No, thanks. And then she's like, okay, fine, don't. And this is Megan Miller. She's she is around in Charlotte, and she does a lot of marketing stuff. And she was like, no, just, okay, then don't make it a business. Just start doing small groups. And I was like, okay, fine, I can do that.
Yeah.
So I started doing small groups. Yeah. And then she was like, after a few months, she's like, so you created a business. And I was like, no, I didn't.
You're just missing the LLC. Yeah.
So, and that's how it kind of evolved from there. Okay. And then I was like, oh, fine, I'll do it, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I grabbed Annie, a couple other people too, to be involved in it, because I felt, again, that need for a team.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to do much on my own.
Absolutely,
and I know
yeah.
it can be better by having more people involved.
Yeah. And I think you guys, like, you bring something to the table that is unique too because of your PT
right.
education and experience too. That's really cool. Do you feel like when, Annie, when you heard what Jamie was doing, were you like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, were you sold pretty quickly, or did you, like, how did that, you know, I guess become like attractive to you?
Yeah. Well, when I had already kind of been drawn into the pelvic health world. I hadn't been treating patients yet, but that small group class that I had been training at my job at the time was all like middle-aged women. It was like a group of five or six women. And I would program, this was when I was like purely doing like orthopedics and sports.
Okay.
So like your typical like knee, shoulder pain issues. Mm-hmm. And so I started this class, and I would program some like jumping or anything dynamic, and all of them would go to the bathroom first.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a line to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I don't even know what to tell these people. And it's weird when you're in that industry and you don't know what kind of advice to give, because the pelvic floor is part of the body, and everyone has one, men and women, and people experience dysfunction whether they've had kids or not.
Right.
So I was like, and I had one other patient who was a young girl. She was like 26. She had a rotator cuff repair. She had told me that she had like confided in me, saying she had this terrible pelvic pain and she really wanted to have a baby at some point, but like could not get in anywhere in Charlotte. There was like a 6-month waiting list at the one clinic she knew about. And I did not have a passion at that time of being like, pelvic floor, like this is my calling at all. I was like, not my thing. But then like it just kept like showing up like in my face like all the time, of being like, okay, there is a need and there is not enough people doing it here. People don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on right now. So I'd already kind of like been looking into like, okay, like how could I make this a part of my practice? And so then I had like started working out at Block, met Jamie, started learning about like 360, and I was like, God, that would be like, that's something that like Charlotte needs, is like some guidance with not just, I mean, it wasn't just perinatal women at that, like what I was thinking, but like, that's really where you're kind of like, you kind of get attracted to like the phase of life that you're in. I've noticed with my career is like, when I first got out of school, I was like so passionate about only working with like college athletes and like, that's what I wanted to do. And I still love treating athletes, but it was, you kind of evolve with like the season of life that you're in. And when more and more people in like late 20s, early 30s were just like kind of struggling with these kind of same kinds of things, that's when I was like, this is just so like necessary.
Mm.
And so she was doing the small group stuff and was trying to create a team, and had some, people, like we had a good group of people that kind of just like had the same goal to really just like educate and you know, teach people the stuff that like they're not getting at their doctors. Or
it's so crazy to think about that. Cause you like, I mean, I'm not a mom, but my sister's had two kids. So like, I feel like I live vicariously through her, but, and anyone who's listening, like I'm sure we all can identify a human that has been pregnant at some point. Mm-hmm. And I like, you do, you focus so much on like what is happening during gestation and then the kid is born and then it's all about the kid. I mean, not mm-hmm. the kids aren't important, but like, you know, your entire focus mm-hmm. is on, well, what percentage are they? And like, are they, mm-hmm. you know, teething mm-hmm. and are they speaking? And you like forget about the mom and like, she has every right to be just as focused on herself, you know, as the child that she's raising. So mm-hmm. I think it's so cool. Like I never would I have ever even like, thought that that was a thing until I met you guys. Yeah. And I was like, oh, interesting. Yeah. You know, it is really neat.
That's the goal. It's just so that we can start, I guess, just allowing and giving moms permission to still care about themselves.
Absolutely.
And to still want to feel good. And you don't have to change. You don't have to give up yourself because you became a mom.
Yeah.
You're just as important as your new baby.
Yeah.
So that's been our goal of, mm-hmm. of making that known.
And what about like, and I promise we're going to get into the other stuff with mm-hmm. you, Jamie, but I have one more question.
Yeah.
When it comes to like, I'm sorry, Safelo, I'm giving her like a lot of shout outs. I'm just thinking of that perspective, but like, I love working out. And so I'm assuming if I ever had a kid, I would like want to pursue like post workouts, whatever. But like people like my sister who aren't into fitness, but still have the same feels about their body. Like, do you get women like that who are like, well, I've never really been a gym person. Mm-hmm. Like, and how do you approach them? And do you feel like they're the same or do you have to treat them differently? Like, what would you say to the people who are listening that maybe aren't like, can't relate to like gym life or fitness mm-hmm. life or athlete life. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I don't know.
I think it might just be like a misunderstanding or an assumption of what it is to be fit and be healthy.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So free tweet. Totally. Yeah. I think I've actually have a current, immediately thought of my one client who I have now who has four kids, had four babies postpartum. She has never lifted a weight before in her entire life, was so intimidated by it.
Yeah.
Did not have any desire, like knew she would hate every second of it.
Yeah.
But she signed up for personal training.
Okay.
And she's like, I just know like I need to feel better about myself. And I think this is a way that's going to do it, even though I might hate every second I'm in here. And so now though, she's been with me for, I think maybe like 3 months now. And she is lifting more than you would ever even imagine. She's like enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that she's like, I fucking hate this.
Of course.
Like,
oh, we all.
It's fine. But the biggest thing for her is her confidence and how good she just feels.
Yeah.
The endorphin releases, all of that stuff, moving, and also like talking with someone.
Yeah.
Having another mom or another someone there with mm-hmm. with her working out, and we talk about everything.
Yeah.
And so in a way, like it's a little bit of like counseling / training.
Absolutely. It's a vulnerable space mm-hmm. for sure.
Right.
Whether you're like, you know, recovering from something or not, like fitness can be very hard and because it is mm-hmm. intimate if you're not comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then also too, I think people feel like they have to be at a certain level in order to start.
Yes.
And that's something that we hear a lot too. Mm. People like, oh, I want to come and try out a class, but
let me
I
do
need
six
to get-
weeks on my own.
Yes.
And I'll come.
Yes. Yeah. I hear that too, just from friends. And I'm like, why? Like, mm-mm. no, like if anything, you should start in a gym where you've got people who can like help you with your form and like make, you know, I totally agree.
And I think maybe they don't know this, but people who are brand new are our favorite people to have in the gym.
Yeah.
It's just, we love like watching the growth and we love helping and seeing the confidence build. So I think that's something that everyone should try to think about.
Yeah.
I think like on my little end of like functional life mm-hmm. and daily living of like not being feeling like shit, that's like when you say like your sister doesn't necessarily like mm-hmm. love to go to the gym and may not want to go to the gym. I think that like when I see them in the clinic and it's just like hinging to like give your kid a bath or like picking your kid up from the crib whatever, even if you don't have a kid, like just daily life stuff that just makes you feel like bad because you feel deconditioned, you have no connection with your body. Like that's the kind of stuff that like it's, I really try. And like, I know that Jamie would do this with her clients too, to like make it about like what their life is. Cause I do get women that really don't have an interest in like gym life. They don't want it. Mm-hmm. But they do want to feel better and stronger. Yes. So you have to like make it about what they are willing to do and make it about like, okay, if that sucks for you, like here's what we have to do at least minimally to like make that feel better. And normally if they feel like crap, they're willing to do that little thing. So
it's true. Yeah.
Just really promoting like the four basic things of like wellness and movement and daily exercise of some sort is going to be one of them. Stress management, sleep, like that kind of stuff is where like, I just think that with, especially with the new mom population is like, that's what we are going to try and preach. And if we can get them after they feel better to like get more of like wellness focused and get into the gym, if that's something that they can do, then that's like where that becomes important. But
yeah,
I mean, we like the newbies and we love it when we see that people like find that value in wellness and find like the difference that it makes in their daily life. And I think so many people just are, you know, like they don't know it. They don't know what they're missing yet.
Yep.
So.
Yep. I totally agree. All right. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I want to give some attention to the other aspect of what you do, Jamie. And that is, special needs. Is that what you say? Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to make sure I have the right term.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that arena and the why behind that and what you're doing.
Yeah. So, when I was a teacher, I was an EC teacher. So I was worked with kids with special needs, whether it's an inclusion setting. So in a classroom, I taught, all populations in one classroom together. Okay. And then I also was in a setting where I would pull kids to a separate setting in order to teach them. And, I've always just been super in love with working with kids with special needs. And I think, if I think back to maybe a why or where it started, I just remember being in fifth grade and having a kid in my class, a friend in my class who had Down syndrome. Her name was Erin Murphy. And I remember always just watching her and just like aching, like feeling so like, oh, I just want to help her. Mm-hmm. I want to go and talk with her. I want to sit with her. Like she was always by herself and didn't really feel like she had good connections with people. And so I just wanted to be that person for her. And so I would go over and talk with her and sit next to her and help her with the schoolwork that we were doing. And then our moms became friends. So then we would have Erin come over and we'd have play dates together. And it may have looked a little bit different, but for me, it was just where like, I just loved having her over and learning. I was always very intrigued. And so from there, I think then I went to college and studied to be an EC teacher and then taught in the classroom. And then recently I'm just a trainer now and just in the general population of mostly able-bodied adults, I still felt a little bit of a missing piece of me not working with people with special needs. And so then most recently I started training Nick Sheehan, who is one of our members, and he's our DJ with Reflex Radio, and he's amazing, and he has a prosthetic leg. And I started just studying and researching a lot about what that's like and also how to train someone with a prosthetic leg. And he was amazing. And I went in, he went in knowing that this was going to be my first time training someone with a prosthetic, but he also trusted me and welcomed my learning and my questioning. And I asked him 10,000 questions a session, probably.
That's so
like,
cool.
What it feels like, what this does, where do you feel this when you do this? And just trying to learn.
Yeah.
And we had such a great time. And so throughout that training him, I got certified to become a trainer or certified special needs or adaptive special needs trainer. And then they started a nonprofit. It's called TAP. called The Ability Project. This is Nick and his wife, Colleen. And they wanted to, they've just understood and appreciated movement so much with Nick post like having the prosthetic. Mm-hmm. And he just realized the benefits of training and moving and how important it was for him to maintain that. He was an athlete his whole life. So when he lost his leg just a short time ago, it's been traumatic. And so they want to then create this space where they can raise money to provide either training for people or kids. They're going to do 18 and under kids with special needs, whether it's physical, cognitive, emotional, whatever the special need is. So provide training for them or provide finances for medical equipment that can help a kid move.
Wow. Okay.
So those are the two options that you can be granted a scholarship through them.
Yeah.
And so they asked me if I wanted to be like the trainer for them. And that's so awesome. I am. And
cool.
I get to do that and I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh. And so that's like a newer adventure, it is definitely tugging from like a place that has existed in you since fifth grade, I'm assuming. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And I start with my first kid client who's actually one of my students that I used to teach and tutor. And he has autism. And we're going to start the first week of March.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, Annie, has your, like, I don't know, do you have any experience? Like, do you learn that in PT? Like, how to work with people with, I guess, the more of the physical?
You do like prosthetics.
Yeah.
That's not a population that I have a ton of experience with. But yes, you learn it in school. You learn, I'm just like most people, it's like anything like military base, you get a ton of experience with that. Any clinic that's like associated with hospital systems, we'll see a lot. But that's something that we learn in school, and it's fascinating, and the technology that comes out of that area is like crazy awesome, and continues to change. But I mean, just watching them do their thing, like Nick is obviously somebody who's you know, in our world as far as like age group and stuff, and like, you know, he's awesome, and so is his wife. But like seeing Jamie at, you know, figure out different tools to use, it's really cool, because I don't think like a lot of trainers would go to that depth of like finding all the things and like really paying attention to like more of like how a PT is taught of like weight shift and how to center your body around it versus just being like do a squat. And if you see them, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just think that it was really cool. I would be in there some of the times doing things with other clients, and it was just cool to see them like do their thing.
I love that. Like, it's like everything that you guys have like fallen into is so parallel, but I don't know. I feel like it's like the worlds were meant for y'all to be friends and work together, you know? And I love that. I feel like
it's nice to have somebody that it's like-minded right outside your door.
100%.
All the time.
Yeah.
And just a resource. Like I ask her questions all the time.
Well, that's kind of where I was going. I'm like, well, there's gotta be like things that y'all can like glean from each other too. I think that's
she's
so
like
neat.
My like encyclopedia dictionary, like everything I go to, I'm like, this is happening, what does this mean?
Or I love that. Well, and I love that. I mean, this is like why I wanted you guys to like be a voice on the pod, because like I just really appreciate that y'all give space to people who deserve it just as much as I do or anyone else on this earth. Like, it's just really cool that you put those people forward and that it is a part of your priorities. And like, I just, it's really cool. Like I want more people to know why you're doing that, you know? And I know we're in Charlotte and not everybody lives in Charlotte, but like, I don't know. Hopefully
these are problems everywhere.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, maybe this is like a good motivation for someone to seek out like something like this in their city, or like maybe they are trainers and PTs and they can like, you know, pursue this as well. I don't know.
I think that if you're looking at like what the why behind it, and you can agree with me, Jamie, or not, but like it's a different feeling when I get such a different like self-satisfaction and gratification to helping somebody that's been like, I had no idea that somebody like you existed. I've been struggling with this issue for so long, and like you make a difference easily. And versus not that I don't love orthopedics, but it's just different. It's like different when somebody's like, pain sucks regardless, but like, it's just different when somebody's been searching and felt truly helpless.
Yeah.
Like they like really felt like this was their life. And like you make a very small difference that to them feels like something so big. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, that's what I was saying, like women's health, like in pelvic floor was not what I went to school for and did not have a passion for until the last few years. Mm-hmm. But I tell people, I say to my patients all the time is like, pelvic health is different because I tell you, like, you're going to do this, this, and this. It's not like do these 10 exercises, you know, three sets of 10 every day for the next 6 weeks, and then maybe we'll see some progress. But like, it's like they feel it like immediately.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's just like you get this like gratification for yourself and your knowledge that you feel like isn't like that big of a deal, but so many people are so grateful. And like, that is why you keep, that's why like I keep wanting to get better at it and keep going and build a business around it because it's like people need it and it's not accessible for still a lot of people that in different areas and whatever. And social media has made it the attention come to it that's necessary, but it is like, I don't know. It's just something that like you get a ton of self-satisfaction for helping somebody that like truly has been looking for it. Mm-hmm.
So going on that note, like for what would you guys say, or I don't know, what would you want the people who are listening who either don't fall into those two populations? They're not a female, they're not a mom, or they, you know, maybe don't have a special need, whether it be like mental, physical, emotional, like what would you want them to know or have at least some sort of awareness about?
About that population?
Yeah, or just like, I don't know, like for me, sometimes I like, I remember one time, this is like such a flashback, but like we were doing a 0 day at Huga where members get up and talk about whatever they want for 10 minutes. You have like no idea what people are going to talk about. And this woman got up and talked for 10 minutes about maternity leave. And her whole concept was that like only moms think about maternity leave, but let me bring it to a different perspective. So she literally spoke to friends, siblings, husbands, spouses, like people, anyone but the actual mom that was on maternity leave. And it was so amazing because it was never presented to me in that way. And so then I felt like I had such a good perspective of what they go through. Right. So I guess that's kind of what I'm asking. Like, if you were to address what y'all do with these populations to the non-population people, right? Yeah, I'm not wording that in a very sexy way, but you get it. what would that be? I don't know.
Well, I think that this is an industry or an area of the industry that people for decades, centuries never said a word about. Like it's always been very private things that are just now coming to the surface that people have struggled for a very long time. If you ask your mom or your grandma or your sister, anyone who's had a kid, they likely have an issue that they've never spoken about. And they live in a lot of pain.
Like embarrassment? Yeah. Is that why?
Embarrassment.
Taboo?
Taboo. Yeah, like people didn't talk about peeing their pants or having pelvic pain. Yeah. Or
not seriously. They joke about peeing their pants, which is something that we hate.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I feel like I've heard of that, like my friends be like, I think I sneezed and peed a little bit, and I'm like, wait, did you though? Like I don't know.
Right. Well, and like even like our moms, like I remember asking my mom, and I had no idea if she ever had anything after childbirth wrong, but like most people have some sort of traumatic experience that they've just kept inside and or something that they're dealing with that they've just been told to deal with because they had a child. And so it's just coming to the surface now where people feel maybe comfortable saying something. So I think that that's probably what I would want people to know is that like, it's like a group of like silent sufferers. And then the other thing is that like moms feel guilty saying that they are suffering when they should be so excited and
the guilt,
thankful that they have this healthy baby. And that's what they'll say. Like people will say is like, well, at least you have a healthy baby. Like, let's just be thankful for that. And in your head, you're like, well, damn.
F you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So it's, and so when you have like, when you have, again, as from coming from that mom's perspective, somebody that can like justify your feelings, and that is like in itself, like 75% of like getting somebody better is just being like validating what they're feeling and
like turning the shame to like affirmation, right? Like yeah, it's okay.
Allowed, yeah. And this is like, this isn't like a mental thing. This is a physical thing and something that has like totally just manifested to get worse because you feel like you can't get any help. And so I think that's probably for me, like what I guess that I would want people to know. Cause everyone has a woman in their life, likely that's gone, a friend, sister, mom, grandma that's gone through something. And again, as you, if you have a baby, you're going through this right now, or like everyone is, you prepare for the baby. And like, I'm in this industry where like, I care about myself enough to where I'm like, okay, I'm going to take care of my shit.
Right.
But like, but like it is like you, everyone freaking loves a pregnant belly, and then the baby comes out and everyone's like,
hates the belly.
Don't show me.
Mm-hmm. Oh my, it is. That is so true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh
yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of like this weird switch. That's like, all right, like, you're glorified, and then you're like, ew. Like, and you feel like you can't, like,
everybody,
show yourself.
Yes, they want to hide. Oh, my God. Wow. That's so true.
Yeah.
I hope everybody heard that. That like, just, I'm like, I resonate with that. I was helping my sister get into a gorgeous gown because she was a maid of honor in a wedding, and I could tell that she didn't want to, you know. She was hiding from me. I'm like, I'm your sister. Like, it's okay. And you're so right.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Jamie?
I think for me, I guess if I take the other route, like the special needs route, it would be that. So I think not understanding people with special needs or what the disability is or does or what it looks like, how it shows up, is something that's a little bit scary or intimidating to a lot of people.
Yep.
And so I think if people were to just stop and think for a second, like, oh yeah, why haven't I ever thought about, I look around the gym and I never see anyone maybe with a disability and a known of visual, you know, you can see
physical
the disability,
disability,
physical disability.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone would ever even think about that.
Yeah.
And so, I think exposure to those environments and to all different types of people is so important. And if you're not, if it doesn't like pull at you to help people with special needs, I think that could be just lack of understanding and lack of desire to learn. And it could be something that they can, you know, try to join up a volunteering company or organization that can help expose you so you can truly try to understand them.
And it doesn't become this like unfamiliar, I don't know how to act or whatever.
And it's okay if you feel that way. But the only way to get better at that is by exposing yourself.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of opportunities for people to help. I think the majority of people are good. And I think everyone has a helping heart, every single person. I think it's just exposure to the, to that opportunity is what's important.
I love it. We are officially out of time, but I need to leave y'all with a malaprop of the day, and I want to give y'all a very quick, brief opportunity to, like, sell your Instagram handles.
Okay.
So here's a malaprop of the day. I'm going to use Annie as my example. So, Annie, you're due in 10 days, right?
Mm-hmm. Which, well, yeah, something like that.
Ish, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have made it through your first, second, and third semester, right?
Trimester. School.
That's what it was. I'm not kidding you. I heard that the other day, and I was like, I'm going to use that malaprop when I talk to the girls because it was so perfect. Oh, I love it. All right, very quickly, because I'm pretty sure another podcaster is going to come kick us out. But give me your Instagram handles or whatever you want to share. Annie, you can go, and then Jamie, you can go.
My Instagram handle is dr.annielimbill. That's the one I'm on the most. And then I have one for the business, Grow PT Charlotte, but I don't use that one as much. So you can find me at Dr. Annie Linville. And then if you're in Charlotte and you ever need a PT or need help finding somebody, company is Grow PT again here in Charlotte, right out of Hooga.
Woo woo.
Yep. Yeah. My Instagram is JFitCharlotte. That's where I share a lot of my more of my gym stuff, personal training, and some stuff with my kids. And then my 360 method handle is 360 method, all written out. Then I'm written, you know what I mean?
Right, like numbers are written out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean.
Yeah.
And that's where I have all of my pregnant and postpartum information.
I love it.
Stuff on. Yeah.
And they always have such good content.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, girls. This was so great.
Thanks
for
having
us. We'll continue this conversation for sure. Those who are listening, hopefully you guys walked away with something you can, learn or relate to. And y'all keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
No problem. This episode of Malaprops and Moxie was recorded at the Huga Coworking Podcast Studio. You can find them online at wearehuga.com, and that's spelled H-Y-G-G-E. The music was recorded and produced by Young Citizen. Thanks so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and write a review.